You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. We open the show, those of you who are partaking of the video, we open the show with something a little bit different, and that is the intro, the little video that you saw. That I was using back in 2003 as I prepared to do video. This has been on the drawing boards for a long time, and we're finally doing it. So welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you who are joining us for the very first time, welcome. We're glad to have you. And let me say, for those of you who are joining us for the very, very first time, we have a free weekly newsletter that you need to subscribe to. It's absolutely free. It comes in your email. And you can unsubscribe anytime you desire to do so. All right? There are really no strings attached. None whatsoever. Most people that subscribe stay with us forever, but if you decide to unsubscribe, you can click the link. Every single edition has a link where you can unsubscribe, so be sure you do that. You know, we've been talking here on this show about the sort of a sea change in mainstream media, and I heard something today that I have to admit really surprised me. I was driving through the city, had the radio on, and was listening to a talk show that probably a lot of you listen to, the Michael Medved Show. And on his show, he usually talks about politics, and he talks about pop culture. But today, on his show, he had the author of a book called Beyond UFOs. And I believe the author's name was Jeffrey Bennett. I had not heard of this book, nor of the author. But I was surprised. I was shocked. This is a scientist who is, in his book, talking about what's on the other side of the UFO issue, and what's on the other side, of course, is extraterrestrial intelligent life. If some UFOs are being piloted by off-worlders, then what's on the other side of the UFO issue would be the pilots and the manufacturers of same. He conducted, I thought, an excellent interview with this author. So here we had, on a very mainstream, nationally syndicated talk show, a very well-known daytime talk host, here we had the topic of UFOs being handled professionally. instead of with ridicule. I was impressed. If you heard about it, be sure you let me know about that tonight, all right? We've got some interesting news stories that we're going to be talking about. And we'll talk about whatever's on your mind, minus politics. We'll be back right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel AllStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments. So click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to alienseekernews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Well, during the break, I was checking some of the email that I didn't get to check right as we came on the air. I like to check it just as we go on the air, but I didn't get to this time because I had some other things happening. So what I did was I just checked it, and since video is new for us here at the Kevin Smith Show, I think this one bears reading. It says, he wants to know, why sometimes I'm looking right at the camera, and then for most of the show, I'm looking this direction. Well, the reason is pretty simple. The reason is that in front of me is the screen for the computer that's running the show. To my left over here, which I guess would be to your right, is the computer running the video. So I'm sort of back and forth between the two. And when I know we've got plenty of time and we're not close to a break, I turn towards the one that's video to make sure that all of that's running right. And I'm facing the video computer right now, which means I'm facing the camera. So that's why. We'll all get used to that. I don't know. The phone line is already lighting up, and I am a bit amazed because I haven't even yet read any of the stories, the news stories that I want to get to. But let's do this. Let's go to the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. I didn't mean to call a radio show. All right. And it's lighting up again. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling? 95 countries are listening.
This is Trey in Atlanta.
Okay, Trey. Was that you that just hung up on me?
Actually, I probably did. The first time I let it ring a bunch of times, and it sounded like someone picked something up and said something in a foreign language and hung up.
In a foreign language? That was English.
Oh, okay.
Dobrye veche.
Okay.
Как дела?
Okay. Kevin, I saw today on Yahoo news blurb thingy they send to you, or they have on the screen on Yahoo, and it had Fox News, and Fox News was covering it. It was footage from June of a British... of a helicopter following a UFO.
Yeah.
And then they did the report and actually showed footage of the helicopter, of the UFO from the helicopter, live footage. And this was, you know, legit. And then later it was said that they were these Japanese lanterns that float in the air.
Yeah, Chinese lanterns.
Chinese mm-hmm. lanterns that float in the air. And then, of course, even the reporter, who, you know, made a giggle at first, said, yeah, but you know, one question I have is, do Chinese lanterns fly at these altitudes, you know, basically at these speeds, too? And, you know...
Well, let me tell you, the early reports, before they began to sanitize them, you know, the early reports that hit the wires are not so sanitized.
Oh, no, tell me about that.
All right, now, the early reports said this. The pilots saw this thing coming at them from beneath the helicopter, out in front and to the side and beneath. And it was coming up towards them at a very rapid rate of speed, and they had to dodge it. Chinese lanterns don't do that.
Well, this is actually another example, Kevin, of them coming out, I think, and releasing this footage. Well, maybe there's nothing we could do to stop it, but I doubt it.
I don't know. I don't believe it was Chinese lanterns. It might have been flares.
Yeah. I think it's just another way of them kind of, you know, a disclosure through ridiculous ideas, because no one's going to believe that was Chinese lanterns. Not even the reporter on the TV did. So if the reporter didn't believe it, you know, none of us will.
Well, and it's very difficult for me to understand how a helicopter could chase a Chinese lantern all the way across the island.
Well, you know,
and they did.
Well, the best one ever still to me, I'll let someone else call in unless you have something you want to talk about. The best thing to me is the one where I found on the internet where the guy said it was high-flying seed pods. That's still the best. I don't think you're ever going to be able to beat that. Even, you know, flying Chinese lanterns is good. It's right up there with it.
Well, you know, Trey, I really, in some ways, sort of don't look forward to the days of full disclosure. And I'll tell you why. Once the full disclosure actually happens and everyone already knows the truth and they know what's really going on, you know what's going to happen? About 80% of the best comedy routines are going to vanish, because about 80% of the best comedy routines is the stuff that they put out for cover stories.
Yeah, I agree. We're not going to have any good, you know. Well, maybe they'll come up with new ones, because, you know, because I don't think we're ever going to know the 100% truth from us, you know.
Well, you know, it just depends. If things happen, you know, Dr. Michael Sala put out, you know, those reports about the UN meeting and the alleged agenda of that meeting. Now, if things happen as that report says they are going to happen, then there's coming a date soon when UFOs and their occupants will be here unambiguously. In other words, we'll all know about it. And there'll be no way to control the press on that. I mean, if they're here and big motherships parked in the sky up there, you know, there's no way to cover that or to cover it up. And so, yeah, I think if that happens, we are going to know the truth.
Yeah, and they want to position themselves to be look like they're in control, a preemptive thing. One last thing, Kevin, is I guess it was last week, I believe, or week before, we were talking about the controlling the weather. And the only thing that I said was, and I still believe, is that there's no way that we went from... When was our first TV set, Kevin? What year was that?
Oh, man, I don't know.
Okay, well, whatever year it was, I don't know, 40s, 50s? Okay, from there to controlling the weather in 60, 70 years, I don't think we're doing that without help from, God's enemy, which has to be, you know, higher level of technology than us. I just don't think we did that by ourselves from TV to controlling, or from man from flight to controlling the weather in, you know, over a little over 100 years, so...
Well, let's see, when they entered into, when we went into World War II, everyone was still very much, it was a radio culture, and you had live broadcast, theater, drama-type broadcasts on the radio. When they came out of World War II, television sets were being manufactured, so... somewhere during World War II is when they began, televisions began to hit the scene, I think. Now, I wasn't around then, although I am an old guy. I wasn't around during World War II. But I think that's about right. And I know that for a lot of my childhood, black and white was what everybody had.
Well, it's just kind of a leap, kind of a big leap. Even if, you know, we are another a culture stealing fire from the gods, whenever we're, if we're actually shooting down some of these craft, whether they're hostile or not, that could be us stealing fire from the gods that way. But besides that, I just don't think it's amazing. I mean, unless it's just simple chemistry and it's not that hard, it's just a bunch of different chemicals you can do and make it rain here and stop it from raining there. I wouldn't know anything about that, but it just seems to me just the level of control as far as the weather goes, controlling the planet that much, even if it's just, you know, momentary weather patterns, would still be a really high level of technology for us to jump that quickly.
Yeah, it is a high level of technology. It really is.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Trey, thank you. All right, folks. Looks like we're off and running, and as I said, we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, as long as it isn't politics. Not interested in that, but anything else that you wish to talk about, we'll take a shot at it, all right? I mentioned last night a story out of Australia, and today I read a little bit more. I read a little bit more detailed report about this, and apparently this happened. I think it happened on. Yeah, it did. this past Sunday, which, by the way, for those of you over on my side of the world, that would have been Saturday. All right? A town of 112 people. And again, I don't know if it's pronounced Marlinia or if it's pronounced Marlinja. It's got a J-A at the end, and in some places that's pronounced, you know, as a Y-A, ya. So Marlinia or Marlinja, a population of 112, 730 kilometers south of Darwin, Australia, 8 p.m. Sunday. What happened was pretty phenomenal. What happened was the witness here describing this says the kids were outside playing basketball, and she was inside talking to her nieces, and then they heard something. It was a very loud noise. She thought it maybe was a jet, and she went outside. And she saw some lights up in the sky. She said they at first were sort of far away. And then one of them came down and hovered over the houses. And she said the light in the house became so bright, it was like we were sitting in a football stadium. And then after a while, these things all disappeared. But one of them hovered over the house for quite some time. And it was only a few meters above the house. Now, again, for those of you on my side of the planet, you're not used to meters, perhaps. This is not exactly right, but think of a meter as being 1 yard, all right? And so a few yards above the house, there's this UFO hovering above the house. And she said that it made a really strange noise. And that it sort of like it was a deep vibrating noise, and she said the ground felt like it was shaking, so we ran inside and shut the doors. Now I talked about that last night, and I didn't have a lot of time to get into it, but the most interesting thing about this, I mean, this is a really phenomenal UFO encounter, because you have 112 people, apparently all of them, pretty much all of them, saw the same thing, and that the witness is reporting here, and that's a pretty phenomenal thing, and to have the UFO come down to within just a few yards above the house, again, very phenomenal. My question about that is why? Why now are we beginning to see these reports about UFOs that are coming down close, having close encounters with people? And, you know, used to, if people saw a UFO, and still it's this way a lot, if people see a UFO, it's way up in the sky, it's some lights far away, and it's just maneuvering in a really strange way. Right angle turns and things like that. The question, I think, bears some examination, and I think the question bears some discussion. Why do you think UFOs are beginning now to make these very close encounters? Now, on the little blurb about the show tonight, if you go to kevinsmithshow.com, by the way, that's where you go to subscribe to our newsletter, kevinsmithshow.com, and you'll see it, the K-Files e-zine. But whenever you go there and you look at the little blurb about tonight's show, I have several UFO incidents mentioned there, and at the end of each one of them, it says, why? Why are UFOs apparently now beginning to sort of bump us a little bit? I mean, we just got through talking with Trey in Atlanta about this UFO encounter with the police helicopter. And by the way, I don't know if you knew that, but it was a police helicopter. And it had a crew of police officers on board. And someone now is trying to sell the story that it was Chinese lanterns. One of them came zipping up towards them at a very high rate of speed. The helicopter had to dodge it, and then it gave chase, and it chased it all the way across the island, and then had to turn back because they were running out of fuel. Chinese lanterns don't do that. I mean, give me a break. Chinese lanterns don't do that. So here you had a close encounter with a UFO and a helicopter crew of police officers. In Australia, you have this close encounter with 112 people in a village, and it just hovers just a few yards or meters above their house. Close again. Then you've got the deal in Romania that we just heard about, where one of the Romanian fighter jets had four UFOs. Two of them rammed the jet, causing damage to the jet, and it was caught on the cameras that were on board the jet. What's the deal with these UFOs deciding they need to kind of bump us a little bit? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing, Kevin?
Good.
And hey, I saw that same video you saw, and one of the things I noticed, too, is when it appears that the chopper switched over to that FLIR mode, and the heat signature didn't even show up for this thing. You know, you would think if there would have been, like, a flame with a candle in it, you know, I mean, that it would have showed up as a heat source in the FLIR.
You would think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's just insane. It really is. Chinese lanterns. I mean, come on.
You know, that's even a better comedy line than the standard flares that we keep hearing over here.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, we did ask it to make it better, and, you know, they must be trying out some new writers. We don't know.
You know, I hadn't thought about that because, you know, I say that all the time. You know, I understand if they feel they need to use a cover story. I think all of us understand that government agencies and militaries use cover stories. We understand that. But get better writers, you know. And the thing is, you know, and let me just give this little tip, Chris. For all of you out there who are going to become cover story writers for the government, The key is you've got to make it something that's at least plausible. Chinese lanterns.
Oh, that's great. Well, I just wanted to say that little part there about the heat signature on that thing.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good one, Kevin.
All right, thank you. The telephone number, if you wish to call in, is 1-623-581-5148. Let me give it again. 1-623-581-5148. That's the number to call. And we will talk about whatever is on your mind so long as it's not politics. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, how's it going over there today, Jeff?
It's going well. It's been very, very hot. We are in the suburbs of hell now.
Huh.
Very hot.
It sounds like there's a lot going on with activity lately. A lot of different little things, and it's kind of funny. I was following along word for word, and at first when I was calling in, I was thinking a lot of times, because last time I touched on the issue that you can consider the Earth kind of like a body, and sometimes bodies need doctors, you know, to make them well, and we're kind of turning our planet into a, I don't know what to call it, just a brown piece of poop, really. My thing was, maybe we're seeing a lot more of it, because when people have an ailment, the one thing they don't want to do is go and see a doctor.
Bob, let me ask you, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Sure, no problem.
All right, let me get you to do that, because the break is taking over, and there's really not a lot I can do about it. We'll be back, folks.
If I was the king of England and all I saw belonged to me, I'd give it all away if the right one came along. If I believed in magic and I could conjure up a Venus with a wave, I'd send her away if the right one came along. There's a shortage of it in this world. Even beauty can be overruled. Understanding. Choices. Crystal vision. She stands before me breathing, but for now I'm only dreaming. Till the right one comes along. In this cold and solitary world, you pay for diamonds and you get four pearls. But I'm
All right, we are back, and are you still with me, Bob?
Yes.
All right. Sorry we had to cut you off in mid-sentence, but those things happen.
Hey, so, I hear ya.
So go ahead with what you were saying.
Well, often these things can be so complex that it's hard to relate to them and even know what's going on. So sometimes I try to simplify it by looking at something that's kind of the same strategy or the same idea, but in a simpler form. To get an overall idea of what might be going on. My thing was, if the Earth is kind of like a body, you know, humans don't want to go to the doctor until they absolutely have to. And so if we're seeing more frequent activity, maybe it's kind of like, whoa, you know, we're at the end of our road for just playing around and stuff, and this world's about to take a dump, so to speak. So they might, you know, there's a possibility that there might be more presence with them as far as just almost being doctors coming to fix us or something like that. But then I started thinking right before the call got answered, those aggressive maneuvers. You know, as a doctor, if I was a doctor, I've had to work with birds and things before, but sometimes you have to restrain the bird to fix it, to make sure that, you know, you can actually work on it even though it's scared, and then you let it go. But the way that these UFOs have these aggressive maneuverings and are hovering over houses, it doesn't really 100% support the doctor theory of helping the Earth. You know, there's no reason.
Well, I agree. I, you know, on the one hand, I don't fear these things. And, you know, what my approach is, whatever is, and that's all that is. However, I don't think that all of them are hostile, but I'm pretty sure there are some that are. And I do consider it hostile when they come into your house and they take you against your will and do things, experiments, or whatever it is they're doing. And it's good if they put you back, but the fact that they invaded your home and kidnapped you, that's a crime. Now, would they know that? Probably. I don't think they're completely ignorant of our social norms here. But they've had, you know, I hear all of this stuff, Bob, about how E.T. is going to come and rescue us. Well, E.T.'s been visiting this planet for a very long time. We still have cancer. We still have heart disease. We still have hepatitis. We've got Ebola. We've got AIDS. You know, they haven't fixed anything.
I know.
And I don't look to them to be our saviors.
Which makes you wonder what their purpose really is.
Well, you know what this could be? It could be when I was a high schooler, you know, we used to... I really enjoyed science, and we used to take science field trips every once in a while, and we would sometimes it would be literally in the field if it was biology, and we'd be out there, you know, collecting things and so forth. This may be a science class. This coming to Earth may just be a bunch of high schoolers from some other world out watching the bugs die.
That's true. Well, there's one more thing I'd like to add to that. You know, when we're building houses and we're doing our thing, you know, if there's a couple bunnies out there jumping around, do you think the humans really care what happens to the bunnies when they're trying to put up their houses, do their things, and go along with their lives? We could just be like animals to them if they're a lot smarter than us. And I think it's really a good point that you brought up the fact of possible multiple species. I mean, what we see one UFO doing one night could be one species, and another one that's being hostile could be a completely different other species that doesn't have as many morals.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. It could be.
Very interesting.
Bob, I want to thank you for the call, man.
All righty then.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Are you near any of those 1,000 fires that are being fought in California?
Gosh, I don't even know. I haven't even had time to turn on the news yet.
All right. They're fighting 1,000 wildfires in California right now.
Wow, that means more wildlife to take care of once they get burnt.
Yeah. And we've got a wildfire going on out here south of Phoenix. It's been a pretty big one. But so far, it's remained, you know, we have washes and gulches. Do you know what a gulch is?
I think so.
Well, it in other places would be a stream or a creek, but there's no water in it out here.
But there's a lot of dry bed stuff in there, right?
Yeah, and so far it's remained in one of those, but it has, it's big. It's covered a lot of area. All right, thanks for the call.
All righty, thank you, Kevin.
You bet. Yeah, well, you know... I think it's Dr. Michael Sala that says there's something like over 60 species of ETs coming here. I think Dick Criswell told us 70 species that are known to be visiting Earth. So, you know, I don't think out of all of those that each and every one of them would have our best interest at heart. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Paul from New York City.
Hi, Paul.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are things in the Big Apple?
Oh, pretty hot and humid. Not too much sun, though. Unfortunately, I was reading this story today, and I guess it has to do with the global warming thing, but they were saying this is the first time that the North Pole will, it could be the first time that the North Pole does not freeze over, and that the Northwest Passage is going to be opened. And the last 4 years they've been observing as it freezes over every winter, it gets thinner, thinner, and thinner, and we're going to get to a point now where it's just going to be melted. And you know there's no land in the North Polar region, and it just seems weird that as 2012 approaches, I'm not saying it's the cause for the global warming, but I mean, you know, we're just, there's going to be no ice left there.
Well, what they're saying is that for a brief period of time this summer, all of the polar ice will probably melt, and then it will refreeze, and there will be ice again in the wintertime. But this is the first time in recorded history when the polar ice has will disappear. I don't know about the 2012 thing either. I don't know if the planet Nibiru is coming. I don't know if Planet X is, or Nibiru is approaching, or even if it exists. But I do know that something is putting a tremendous amount of pressure on our entire solar system, and everything that's in orbit around our sun is heating up.
And I can't believe that it's all blamed on us, all the industrial waste that's going out there and causing the global warming. I mean, I know we attribute to it, but I just can't see that we're just causing this dramatic change in such a short period of time.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think that human activity is the cause of the global warming, but I think it exacerbates it. We go through cycles. These cycles are well known to science. Climatologists talk about these cycles, and they know it's a real thing. And, you know, I've said on this show, Paul, your entire life has been lived in a period of global warming. And the way you know that is because you're not in an ice age.
Exactly.
And between two ice ages, there is an age of global warming. And so, you know, I think that these are cycles that we're going through. But we're exacerbating the problem. And let me say this. Even, Paul, even if all of the industrial waste that we're pumping into the atmosphere has, if it had absolutely nothing to do with global warming, it's still killing us. And, you know, I think we need to do as much as we can to clean up as much as we can, as fast as we can. But I don't think we should expect that that's going to have an effect on the global warming.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to the polar bears. I mean, that's their habitat. If there's no ice there, I don't know how they could survive.
Well, we're going through climate changes. We may see extinction of species. It's not the first time this Earth has been through this. You know, it went through it just before we arrived. There was a mass extinction not long, well, in the grand scheme of things, not long before humans showed up. There was a mass extinction, and, you know, we may see some mass extinction stuff happen. There's a NASA scientist that just testified before Congress who said we will.
Wow.
Paul, I want to thank you for the call, man.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Yeah, good to hear from New York City. New York City, by the way, is the number one city for our audience. And I had somebody say, well, naturally, that's the largest city in America. Yeah, but America's not the only place listening. And there are some very large cities in some other countries as well, you know. And but New York City is number one for us. All right, we'll be back right after this. And by the way, next week we've got Robert Felix coming on. He's been here before. He'll be talking about global warming. He wrote the book, Not by Fire, But by Ice. Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com. Right, we are back, and caller, if you will, just hang on for just a moment. During the break, I checked our flash messages, and I've got a couple of them here that say, I don't get any video, I just have a white screen. Well, if that's the case, your firewall is blocking it. And if you'll look right up at the top of your screen, not the top of the player, the top of your screen, all right, the top of your browser, in there somewhere, there's a little thin band that says it's blocked, and if you want to unblock it, you have to click that. Try that and see if you get any video. I bet it works. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Charles in Albuquerque.
Hello, Charles.
I was just calling to compliment you on your video.
Well, you know, you made part of this happen. You see on the screen where it says the telephone number there?
Yeah.
Well, that's the program you enabled for us.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and it will handle Skype, so we can put video from Skype callers on. And it does a lot of things.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad to see you got everything synchronized now. And we can see your face.
Yeah, well, is the audio synchronized with the video?
I think it's about a half-second delay.
Yeah. Well, now, are you listening to the audio from the player or from the video feed?
From the video feed.
Yeah, about a half-second delay. I don't really know what I can do about that.
I don't think there is anything you can do about it.
Yeah. I think probably the only thing I could do would be, and eventually we will, would be for me to get a hosted account with a place, I think it's called BitServe or something like that, and they have instantaneous audio and video synchronization. So,
well, I know it's out there. I mean, I've seen people who have it, but I bet it's expensive.
Yeah, it is. I checked on it already. We're not there yet, but we'll get there.
Well, I think it's a real good start here, and I see you have a different shirt on tonight.
Well, yeah, I change shirts every 2 or 3 days, whether I need to or not, you know.
Especially when people are watching on camera.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe we can see your reaction to of your face when one of your guests says some of the more outrageous things they might say.
I'll try to control that.
We can see the raise of the eyebrows, perhaps, or...
That I can't control. It happens.
The astonished drop of the chin.
Yeah, well, that happens sometimes. And it's, you know, I will tell you this. Whatever you hear on the Kevin Smith Show is exactly what you would encounter if you were looking at me face to face. I don't change my voice for the show. I don't change my demeanor for the show. I am what I am.
Might have to send you a couple of hats to change the visual interest.
Well, you might. There's a little bit of glare from that dome up there.
You know, yeah. We may have to do something about the glare from your glasses.
Can you believe that I used to have hair down to my shoulders, past my shoulders, and had a ponytail?
You must have pictures of that.
I don't. There are pictures of it. I don't have any. My mom may have some.
Yeah, well, we ought to see that.
Yeah, me with hair. Now that's quite a sight. You know, Charles, there is a picture that I use sometimes, and it's a picture of flames coming up all around me, and I've got this. I've got a wig on.
I've seen that. Are you going to wear that for us on the TV?
Well, no, I don't have that wig anymore. That belonged to my second wife, and it left when she did.
Oh, shoot.
So, you know, I didn't get that in a property settlement.
Well, I sometimes run across nice wigs in yard sales. I'll keep my eye out.
Well, you do that. You do that. I may just wear a wig for you there, you know, one day, and folks can see what I look like with hair.
Well, you're going to have to do something once in a while to add visual interest.
Well, you know, I've got I wear different T-shirts. Although I noticed almost all of my T-shirts are black, and I'm going to have to wear T-shirts that have where they've got an emblem or something on them that's big enough for this camera to pick up.
I've kind of noticed this whole black and white scheme out there. I don't see much color at all in your office.
Well, you're right. You're right. You see George on the wall here behind me.
Yeah.
I got an email during the first break that said, "Can you change the camera angle? I missed the skull." So I've got part of the skull in there. I can't get it all in there, or I won't be in the picture. So, but anyway, that's George.
Well, now one thing you could do is you could maybe you could grab a hold of your little camera and move it around and show us your environment.
Oh, you really wouldn't want to see that. It's if I gave you a tour of my environment here, you notice when I point to George, I can actually reach out and touch George.
Yeah.
That's how small this studio is. So if I gave you, I just did. I just gave you a tour of the studio.
It was the tour, yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
How is the weather in Albuquerque? Is it like it is here?
It was entirely overcast all day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, we're in the outskirts of hell here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You hot?
Oh, yes. And it's people that have been here for a while are saying that they think that this summer we will exceed our past record, which was 122. I was here for that day. And
my father-in-law lives out there, and I've been out there once in a while in the summer. I tell you, it's not something that you want to do unless you, it's not something for the faint of heart, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, summer is brutal out here. People hear me say that this is like living on Mars with cactus, and they think I'm joking. I'm really not. I'm going to take the camera and get out there and videotape some of our surroundings so you can see. Because every time you see anything on television about Phoenix, you know, you see the pictures of the city. Well, this city is sitting in a desert. And,
that would be interesting. Can you do that? Take some video and then feed it into your camera here and show us the
oh, sure.
Taken?
Sure. Absolutely. You know, let me just change something real quick here. And if you're looking at your screen, it just went black.
Yeah.
And what you're seeing here is video.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That I can, you know, if I put the video into the computer, all I have to do is on this wonderful program that you provided for us, and by the way, thank you again, I just click a button, and we switch back and forth between videos and the live camera.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very impressed.
Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate you for supporting this show and for helping us out to get this piece of software.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and anything I can do to support your effort is, worth it.
Well, I'll tell you what, one thing you can do that you would enjoy, absolutely be thrilled with, I know you would, and that's go to Thailand with us in October.
Good try.
I'll tell you what, it will be a trip that you will remember for the rest of your life. It's an absolutely fabulous place.
I truly would like to go on one of these trips of yours, and I hope you have another one, because we can't quite make Thailand this year, but, you know, if you do it again, we would really love to do it, my wife and I.
Are you in good health?
I am. She is not in great health, though. That's mm-hmm. one of the problems. She's has to take her medicine with her and so forth, and that might prove difficult.
Well, it might, but I'll tell you something. I had to go to the hospital once when I was in Thailand, and when I walked in to the hospital, I thought I had walked into the bridge of the Starship Enterprise. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I've heard they have a good medical system.
It beats anything I've seen here.
That's amazing.
It took 15 minutes for me to check in and see a doctor. 15 minutes, and I was in front of a doctor.
Well, boy, you won't find that here.
I know. Charles, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. I've got to move along.
All right.
Have a good evening.
Good.
All right. All right, the telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. And those of you who have been staring at a white screen and finally noticed that there is a little thing at the top of your screen that tells you it's being blocked, and you can click it, and then it gives you the option to allow that to show. If you click that, has it worked for you? I hope it has. All right, caller, are you willing to hang on through the break, or do you want to call back?
I'll hang on.
All right, hang on. We'll be back right after this, folks.
call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
No, don't call that number. It doesn't work. The telephone number you need to call is 1-623-581-5148. All right, now we have a caller on hold. We're going to that call momentarily. Just let me make this quick announcement first, and that is that I've gotten a couple of flash messages saying, there's no security block, but I still have a white screen. Let me assure you that there are loads of people watching video. It is something in your computer setup. It is nothing, has nothing to do with the video feed or with the signal that we're sending out, all right? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Thank you for holding. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Thank you so much for having Dr. Brooks Agnew on the other night. I just love to listen to him talk.
He's interesting, isn't he?
Yes, he always has very interesting discussions that he brings to the show. I really wish I could go to eSETI, but unfortunately I just don't have the cash right now. But
people who don't have cash right now are in the majority.
Including you.
That's right. Absolutely true.
It was interesting. Earlier today I was watching History Channel, and they have like the UFO Hunters, the program. And they had the Rendlesham Forest, Bentwaters UFO incident on. And I was watching that, and I just thought it was really interesting that you had Colonel Holt on a couple of months back and that he talked about this.
Actually, I didn't have him. I'll tell you who it was. It was a soldier.
Was it Nick Pope?
No, I've had Nick Pope on.
Right.
Yeah, and he's talked about it. And then
right.
We had an airman. We had an airman that was stationed there when this happened. And I don't know if you heard this. He talked about what all of those guys on the security detail that went out looking for this UFO, went out to see what is it, when they came back, they were all talking about it, and he said for 2 or 3 days, you know, that was the conversation, what they saw, what they experienced, and so forth. And so he was sharing with us all that information. And I thought that gave us a pretty good insight to what was going on other than just that incident itself. What did the airman that went out in the security detail say about it? And what was very interesting is he told us that they said that there was actually a craft on the ground and that there was an extraterrestrial that they had contact with.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. Because in the televised version on the History Channel, of course, they talked to Colonel Holt, and I'm just kind of curious, was this airman on the American detail that went out with Colonel Holt, or was this,
no, he was not British on the detail at all. He's an American.
Oh, okay.
But he was not on that security detail at all. But what he did is he shared with us what those guys said when they came back.
Oh, okay. It was interesting because they showed the Colonel Holt took them through Bentwaters, and there's a tower like on the west side of the base, and this tower is an observation tower, and according to the British military police witness that was there on the base at the time, he said that at this observation tower that it's manned 24/7, and they have at least, I think he said, 4 to 6 personnel on duty that are, you know, observing this area. And it was just interesting to hear it from his point of view, because he happened to be on base not the second night, the 26th of December, but December 25th, when the craft was sighted, not with, you know, the red flashing light in the woods when Colonel Holt and the other team went out the following night.
Right.
But the first night when the craft actually landed, and I think it was Sergeant Peniston, he and some of his retinue were out on detail, and he actually said that he had touched the craft.
That's right.
And I just thought that was very interesting, and I, you know, I just kind of wanted to bring that up because I saw that, and I said, you know, this is really cool because Kevin's had Nick Pope on. Nick Pope has talked about it. Plus, they also interviewed Nick Pope, too. And Nick talked extensively about it. And then, of course, they talked to Colonel Holt and MP. I can't remember his name, but he was British. And they actually went also to a civilian who lived in the area on the other side of Rendlesham, right near the, not just on the other side of that field of the farmhouse, where on the second night that red light had split up and then became the five little balls of white light. And they questioned this civilian, this British civilian, and, you know, and he said, no, I really hadn't seen anything, or I hadn't really heard anything. But he said an interesting thing was two young, he thinks maybe British agents or something, the typical men in black, came to him and questioned him about this. On either two nights, had he seen or heard anything? And he said, no, he hadn't. So it was just kind of interesting that they would add in a civilian to everything that was going on in the whole area.
Yeah, it makes you wonder why.
Yeah, it was just an interesting show because what they did was it was kind of like Mythbusters. They put together a scenario where could it be seen not only from the observation tower, but I guess there was also like a lighthouse about 30 miles out that was like right on the coast, and they were trying to do all these suppositions whether Colonel Holt or any of the members on the base that were involved with this, which is at roughly about 80 people, according to what they were saying, according to what Nick Pope was saying. And they were trying to make the scenario of whether they had actually, everybody had actually seen a UFO both those nights, or if it was just like the light from the lighthouse. But when they questioned the lighthouse keeper about this, he said, no, he said only the light flashes out to sea. It doesn't flash inland, so there was no way that anybody could have got that mixed up with seeing a UFO. So I just thought it was really interesting the way they approached that.
Yeah, that must have been a rerun, because I have seen...
It probably was.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I thought they did an excellent job with it.
Oh, yeah, it was... so you have seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really thought it was fascinating. And then there, they actually also talked about Stephenville, Texas, and the UFO sightings that occurred back in January. And they're even now saying, I think the gentleman's name is Don Cherry, who's the head of the MUFON around Stephenville.
Yeah.
And he said that actually a lot of the... reports that were coming in to his office actually started around the first week of December. So it wasn't actually January the way the media around the area have been reporting it. It actually started in January. So I thought that was kind of interesting. The media said that it started like around January, I guess, 8th. And according to this gentleman, Don Cherry, the head of the MUFON up in that area of Texas, that it actually, he had two reports of in Stephenville of seeing a resident seeing a UFO as early as the first week of December, which is like roughly, you know, almost 4.5-5 weeks earlier. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. And the team went down there to talk to all the residences and stuff, and there was one guy, I think, by the name of Mike Karen, I think his name was. He's a resident, and he actually took 14 minutes of home video footage. And the interesting thing about this UFO was I didn't get to see all of it because our dogs were getting kind of a little wild, and I had to go down and take care of them. The light wasn't consistent like how we see most UFOs, like, you know, like a glowing ball of light or something.
Yeah.
This was interesting because it did all these kind of weird shapes like serpentine and squiggles and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And it flashed different colors.
That that video is on YouTube, and
you have seen it.
I have seen that, and it is really phenomenal.
It kind of reminds me of some of the things that probably Jeff Lowine has seen.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're going to do a show with him. And he and I are going up on the mountain. You'll get to go up there via the video.
When are you planning on doing this?
Well, I don't know. There is a professional video company here in the Phoenix area that's going to do the video for that. And so we're trying to schedule for them to be able to go up on the mountain with the camera with us. And
be able to see it by Ustream, I mean online?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Yeah, there are a lot of things we want to do that we can only do if we have video, and now we do.
Oh, that's great news. That's
yeah.
Great news.
All right, thanks,
Kevin,
for the call, Debbie.
Get off the line, and hopefully somebody else will call in with some interesting questions.
I'm sure they will. Thank you. We have a Australian listener that has sent me a flash message. I haven't mentioned flash messages yet, so let me do that. If you live outside of the United States or you live outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. It's just an email. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. All right, flash, F-L-A-S-H. @kevinsmithshow.com. And he sent me a flash message. He says, I've been trying to Skype, but your Skype does not appear to be online. I don't know what to tell you, Simon. It's online, and we'd love to hear from you. But he said he has a few thoughts to share regarding the Marlinja UFO incident. And perhaps one of the things that Simon will be able to do is to school me on whether I'm saying that right. Marlinja or Marlinja. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you know, it could be pronounced Huckleberries for all I know, but Marlinja is what it looks like. So, Simon, you can try to Skype again, and we're online. But I'll tell you this, that brings up something. We don't turn on the Skype. We don't go online with Skype until the second hour. So if you were trying to Skype in prior to that second hour, that's why you weren't getting in. All right? It's just set up that it happens that way. It automatically goes online in the second hour. All right? Sometimes I accidentally manually go online before that, but in the second hour is when it goes online normally. Yeah, I would love for Simon to do that. Now, if we don't hear from Simon via Skype, I'll read this flash message. It's got some interesting thoughts, but I would love for him to do that so that you can hear him, and also because what he's written raises some questions that I would like to get his views on and get his thoughts on. The telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. 1-623-581-5148. And that will bring you, that'll transport you directly into the studio here, all right? For those of you who are experiencing just a white screen for the video, All I can tell you is you've got to look into your own computer's configuration. You've got something set up in there that's blocking it, because we do have folks all over the world right now that are watching. And there are several publish points. So each of the publish points represents hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are watching. So if you cannot see it, it's in your computer. That's where the gremlin is. It's in your computer. And if you have Vista, all I can say is, friend, you should have stuck with XP. Or go get a Mac. All right? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Yeah.
You're live on the air. From where are you calling, and what is your first name?
Walter.
Okay, Walter, what you need to do is turn down the volume, because okay. There is a delay back there, and it's going. Don't try to listen to you while you're talking on the phone. Okay. It won't work. All right, Walter, where are you from?
I'm from Orlando.
All right, from Florida.
Yeah. I figured out that a lot of people are having problem with a white screen. I had white screen for two nights. And I just went into my tools, I got Windows XP, and I hit the phishing filter, enabled that, and then I got you on video.
All right.
So for people that are having problems, I'm pretty new on the computer, and I figured it out, so.
Yeah, it's if they have a white screen, it's something in their computer setup.
Yeah, phishing filter, yeah. If you enable that, that'll let it stream through.
All right. Well, what's happening in the world down around Orlando?
Oh, a lot of rain in the afternoon.
Oh, man, I'm jealous.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of heavy thunderstorms in the evening.
Walter, we out here in Phoenix, Arizona, sitting in the middle of the desert, would you believe that we have what they call a monsoon season?
Huh.
And we see almost no rain. Do you know why they call it a monsoon season?
No, why's that?
Because the humidity gets a little bit higher. The humidity will get up to about 50%.
That's where my mom wants to retire, and out in Phoenix.
Has she done a summer out here yet?
No.
Your mom needs to come out and visit in August before she makes that decision.
Yeah.
It is brutal.
Yeah, I got off a bus from San Diego, California, coming back to Florida about 10 years ago, and I got right back on the bus. It was during the summer. It was like 117 degrees outside.
Oh, that's, yeah, it gets, that's normal. We will get so hot for so long that we will be, you know, we look for nights when it will cool down at nighttime to 100 degrees. We look forward to those cool nights.
That's too hot.
It really is brutal, and I'll tell you, though, after that breaks, which will be in October, once that breaks, we have about 6 months of absolutely paradise weather, but then we have 6 months of hell.
Well, it gets towards the later part of the summer here in Orlando, it gets pretty brutal, too, with the humidity.
Yeah, well, there's one thing, though, that's not going to happen to me here that could happen in Orlando. I will not be hit by a hurricane.
That's true.
Yeah. Walter, how long have you been listening to this show?
A few weeks. I'm into the UFO thing and paranormal stuff, and I'm fishing around on the websites and got a hold of you and was fascinated. I listen to the Art Bell a lot, and then mm-hmm. I started listening to you, and I'm fascinated now because I've gotten kind of tired. I like Art Bell, but George Norrie sometimes, some of the topics, not as good as it used to. But now I found another good show. I like you. It's really been interesting since I found you. I'm on every night since.
Well, you know, every talk show host has his own style. And, man, there are millions of people that love George Norrie. But I am glad you found this show, and I hope you keep listening. I hope you get addicted to this.
Yeah. Oh, I am. I'm on every night.
Well, that's good. And now you've got video.
Yeah.
All right. Walter, thanks for the call.
Oh, good. Thank you.
All right. Anyway. All right, from Orlando, Florida, 1-623-581-5148. 623-581-5148 is the studio line. And we'll be more than happy to hear from you. And more than happy to take your call over Skype if you're outside of the United States or outside of Canada. You can Skype in. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Mark from Nashport, Ohio.
Hi, Mark.
How you doing tonight, Kevin?
I am doing very well, Mark. How about you?
I'm doing real good. I got three potential topics. I'll let you choose which one you'd like to talk about.
All right, line them up for me.
All righty, I got a UFO sighting. I've got finishing up on my 2012 stuff. Or I wanted to ask you a few questions about Mohenjo-Daro, if you remember that city that Dr. Joseph Farrell talked about. So any of those topics that you'd like to talk about would be great.
Well, let's start with the UFO sighting. Tell us about it.
All righty. This happened March 1st, 2008, on a Friday night at 12 midnight, approximately 36 miles south of Columbus, Ohio, on I-71 near Route 35. My wife and I were traveling north on I-71. At just about midnight, there appeared 2 miles ahead of our car, between 50 and 75 feet above the road, a very bright elliptical ball of intense bright white light. I had my wife slow the car down, and we moved into the slow lane, and I kept my eyes on this light as we slowly approached it. It remained perfectly stationary for about 2 minutes and appeared larger and brighter as we approached. The light covered an area of about 200 feet in diameter, and as we pulled to about 50 yards from the light, I could see that in intensity it looked like about 3 or 4 searchlights. It made no sound. It did not move at all until we got almost underneath it. And then the light morphed into a craft that appeared in shape somewhat similar to a B-2 bomber. However, the craft was about 60% of the size of a typical B-2, and it looked somewhere between the shape of a boomerang and a pyramid. It had 2 white running lights on the leading edges and a light in the center of the craft. After the craft materialized and morphed into a solid form, it flew silently from west to east over the expressway. Then it turned parallel with the highway, flew over the top of our car, and ascended into some cloud cover and disappeared. Anyway, that was about it.
What year was that?
That was this year. That was a couple of months ago.
How did that affect you?
It affected me profoundly. I was just so excited and just so overwhelmed by it. And psychologically, I literally tried to talk myself out of it. And I've been meaning to call you and tell you about it, but this is the first time I really felt like I could actually even talk about it. I called Dick Criswell the day after it happened.
Yeah.
And gave him the report, and it felt good to, you know, talk to somebody about it. I think it might have been actually, I don't know what it was, to tell you the truth, but I think it could have been one of our secret, highly advanced craft.
Well, you know, it might be, but still, to us laymen, who are not in that circle of people who get to know these things, it is unidentified, and therefore it is a UFO by definition. If it's in the sky and we can't identify it, that's a UFO.
It was extremely astonishing. It looked like literally it came, I don't know how to describe this, like it came from somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
if that makes any sense. Like some kind of portal opened up, this craft came through, and then it went, the light went away completely, and then there was this craft that looked like almost a conventional craft, except it made no noise whatsoever. Very strange. You know, just one of those very strange things. So.
You know, have you ever heard me describe the UFO that me and my family saw back in, I think it would have been 1992?
No.
All right, are you having to pay long distance for this?
That's all right. My cell's got tons of minutes on it. Go ahead.
Okay, well, the reason I asked is because we're about a minute away from a break. My family and I were driving on a country road going sort of the back way to connect up from one highway to another highway.
Yeah.
And this happened in Rayville, Louisiana. And one of my sons, my youngest one, pointed up as we were driving down the road. He was looking out the window and looking up and pointed up, and he said, "Look at that." And we looked, and there it was, hovering above a field that we were going by. And so we stopped and just watched this thing. It was a triangle, and it was black. And to make a long story short, it hovered there for a while, and then it turned toward the northeast, and it accelerated. It took off, and it took off and accelerated at a rate unlike anything I have ever seen. I want to thank you for the call, and do you want to hang on through the break, or does that about do it for you?
That probably does it for me, and I'll...
All right, look, go over to my website, click on where it says My Story, or Listener Stories, and share that with us.
I'll do that.
Thanks for the call. We'll be back, folks.
Get some ready.
right, we are back. The telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 1-623-581-5148. 1-623-581-5148. If you have something on your mind that you would like to talk about, we certainly want to hear from you. I'm still waiting to hear from Simon over in Australia. Skype is active. It's online. I don't know why he had difficulty, unless perhaps, Simon, you were trying before our second hour started. But it is online. We'd love to hear from you. If we don't hear from him here in a little bit, I will read the flash message that we got from him. And we'd love for all of our listeners all over the world to communicate with us. You can do so free through Skype. All right? It is, if you're going to Skype, it is kevin.smith.show. It's real easy. Kevin Smith Show, and just put dot between the words. Kevin.smith.show. Or you can send me a flash message. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. Now, one interesting article that really caught my attention here today has to do with Liverpool. You know, just a few years ago, and when I say a few years ago, you have to understand I'm an old guy, right? So as an old guy, it's just a few years to me. I can remember it happening. The folks in Liverpool invaded the United States of America. Not all the folks of Liverpool, but four really famous guys, or they became famous, invaded the United States of America, and things were never the same again. They were called the Beatles. And they literally, that group, that band, literally changed music. They changed culture. They changed the world. Some people would argue for the better. Some people would argue it was not for the better, perhaps for the worse. I like the Beatles. They were innovative. They were creative. They broke all kinds of conventions in music and opened up all kinds of new roads and avenues in music. And I like that. They were just one of the most creative, innovative bands that ever existed. Well, in Liverpool, there are people who now are afraid that Liverpool is under threat of a UFO-led alien invasion. I found that title on that article to be really curious. Why would you fear an invasion? Why would you fear that Liverpool is about to be invaded by UFOs or by aliens? Well, there's a former policeman by the name of Steve Rafferty, 50 years of age. His daughter, Emma, was with him, and they saw 13 orange orbs and filmed the unexplained phenomena on a mobile phone. Another witness captured footage, and radio stations were jammed with callers reporting the sightings. One of the witnesses said these things in the sky looked as if they were looking for a place to land. So they apparently were not just sort of hanging up there in the sky, just floating around up in the sky. They were actually kind of searching around for a place to land. Or that's what it appeared. Later, there were people who brought up that whole thing about, well, these were Chinese lanterns. That seems to be popping up a lot over there. Chinese lanterns. That's why I laughed when I mentioned, you know, it's like flares over here. Every time now someone sees a UFO, they say, well, that was flares. And really, I mean, nobody buys that story. We're not stupid. We can see the difference. And Chinese lanterns. Apparently, a Chinese lantern is, it's got a little candle in it, and it's a little paper lantern. And as the heat builds up inside this little paper lantern, it begins to, because, you know, the candle's in there, and the heat builds up, and then it begins to float into the sky. Well, people are not buying that story over there, just like they're not buying the flares over here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi there, Kevin.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Tony from Norman.
Tony.
How are you
feeling any better, Tony?
Not just yet.
Not just yet. Well,
maybe a little bit better today, but not there yet. Just no strength in the daytime. Absolutely nothing.
Are you a vampire?
No.
Okay, well, we can rule that out.
Yes. And the weird thing is I've had some, you know, complete blood work up and nothing shows up, so I don't know what the hell is going on, and I'm a little scared about it, you know.
Well, if nothing's showing up, then there's probably nothing there, nothing wrong. You may just be a little bit low on certain vitamins and minerals and things like that.
I hope so. I hope that's what it is.
Yeah, or it may just be that you're old. That happens to me, Tony. You know, once you get up in our part of the stratosphere, we haven't made it to the ionosphere yet, but in our part of the stratosphere, sometimes you just sort of get a little bit winded, you know?
Yeah, but for 4 weeks?
Well, why not?
I guess you're right. You know, it's this is really kind of unique to be able to actually see you. It's
that's a beautiful cool. face, isn't it?
Oh, well, I. I don't want that way.
I have a face made for radio.
I don't know if you ever hear Ian Punnett.
Yes.
On Saturday nights.
Rarely, but I have.
Have you heard the way he starts the show?
No, I don't recall.
This is Ian Punnett with a voice for TV, a face for the radio, and a voice for newspaper.
Okay.
But I don't know if I've ever told you any of my encounters. But
I'll tell you, Tony, you told me in a private conversation that was not on the air.
I did?
Yes, you did.
Oh, in an email?
No. This was a long time ago. You called in and you were on as we closed the show, and I asked you to hang on, and you talked to me for a few minutes after the show.
Jeez, I am old. I don't remember that.
Yeah, but I've never told it. So if you want to share something with us, go ahead.
I don't know what to do about it, because this stuff bothers me all the time. I can't say that it actually bothers me, but it's always on my mind about being with them, and, you know, the question mark, I think I've talked about this a couple of times. Most people have a question mark about whether, you know, they exist or not, and with me there is no question mark, because I have been with them. And my problem is, I've talked to someone that, you know, and he doesn't think I am one, a contactee, abductee, whatever it is, and why, I don't know. But
well, let me ask you this. Are you absolutely certain that you have had that you have been abducted or contacted or whatever? You're absolutely certain of that?
Oh, yes.
Then it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I know. I agree with your views, yes. But that's the thing. Maybe he doesn't believe, or this organization doesn't believe, because the problem is I don't remember much of it.
Well, most of the abductees or contactees that I have read, you know, their testimonies or that I have talked to here on this show, most of them don't remember much of it. And look, you know, we talked about the weather some here earlier, and I'm telling you that right now, here we are almost 15 minutes before the end of the show, and it's over 100 degrees outside. Now, I'm telling you that. And there could be someone sitting out there watching and listening, and they say, I don't believe that. So what? I don't care. I'm sitting here. I know what it is.
Right.
And we have a break coming up. If you are certain in your own mind, there's no question at all in your mind that you have had contact with these beings, then that's enough. It doesn't matter what someone else thinks.
I've had three time regression sessions, and the longest one was, I believe, 2.5 hours. And the first...
Tony, you want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, hang on. Folks, we'll be back right after this.
Told me how life used to be. He looked like
And are you still with me, Tony?
Of course.
All right. Yeah, look, the whatever has happened to you has happened, and you know it. And, you know, there was a time in my life when it was important for me for people to buy into anything that I said, okay? Mm-hmm. Even up until when I first started this show back in 2000, I still sort of had that frame of mind that I wanted people to, you know, to buy into what I said. And then, I don't know, over a period of time, I came to realize it really doesn't matter.
I agree.
You know, I am who I am. I say what I say. I'm politically incorrect and I was born that way and shall die that way. And I have no apologies for it. I am what I am. And I know what I know. And if I say that I saw something or that something happened, it did. And if people want to believe that, fine. If they don't, fine. Doesn't matter.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I never try and convince anybody, and I really don't talk about it all that much when the subject comes up. Naturally, I do. And I've found that when I do talk about it, there's times when more comes out that I was not aware of.
Yeah.
More of it comes out. But let me just stop and thank everybody out there who sent any prayers and or healing energy towards me. I appreciate it. And that guy from New York, I'm an ex-New Yorker, and I thank him. And I don't know how. I have not talked to many people who are in this position, so I really don't understand how most people feel about living with this kind of thing.
Yeah, most people, I'm persuaded, are bothered by it and won't talk about it and try to suppress it. And I'm not sure that's. I don't judge. I'm not judging anybody, but I'm not sure that that's the most healthy route to go.
No, I'll talk about it with anybody anytime.
Yeah, and you know, it's once something is a part of you and a part of your life, then it just is, and it won't go away. You know, the experiences that we have become part of us, and there's really nothing that can be done about that except to accept it and say, yep, it happened. And you know, and then one of the things that bothers a lot of people is they want to know what happened, and then they want to know why me. And I'm not sure, but I think it was you that I told something that I heard a preacher say one time. And what he said was, why not you?
Yeah, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have an answer for that either. You know, the answer for why not me is as ambiguous as why me. Do what?
It is really hard to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't say that it's on my mind 24/7, but it is very often on my mind.
Well, and I think any of us that have an encounter with something that we think is extraterrestrial or that we're sure is extraterrestrial, I think that will be on your mind a lot.
It feels weird to me. I mean, it even feels weird to me.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to. It's supposed to. If you touch something that has oil on it, it feels slick, and it'll feel slick to the next person, too.
Right.
And so, because it's supposed to. And so it feels weird to you because it's supposed to.
And I think a lot of people try to explain certain things away as misrepresentations or hallucinations or whatever you want to put it, but because whatever you're telling them doesn't sound right,
But what I don't think most people understand is it doesn't sound right because it's alien.
Well, and also because it's outside of the realm, outside of the scope of their own experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. When I talk about how hot it gets here, and I talk about the fact that in the middle of the summertime, you go out to get in your car, you better have some kind of a cloth in your hand or you'll get branded. There are people who think that's an exaggeration. They think that I'm speaking in hyperbole. I'm speaking in absolute fact.
Oh, I believe you. Well, it doesn't get that hot here in Oklahoma, but it does. I've seen 115.
Well, here's the thing. If you've never lived in a place that gets this hot, then it's outside the scope of your experience, and you really cannot imagine it. The difference between 115 and 120 is immense.
I wouldn't want to know.
Yeah, and our soldiers are over in Iraq and Afghanistan, where in the summertime it gets to like 130.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah. Tony, I want to thank you for the call, man.
No, thank you. I appreciate it, Kevin.
All right. Thanks for the call. And get well. All right. I want to get to this flash message that we got from Simon. Never did hear back from Simon. And that's unfortunate. I wanted to because I've got some questions I wanted to ask him. He says, I have a few thoughts to share regarding the Marlinja UFO incident. Marlinja is in the Northern Territory, just north of a place called Pine Gap, which is a joint U.S.-Australian base. The UFOs reported made a very loud noise like a jet, which is inconsistent with other extraterrestrial vehicles. These may be alien reproduction vehicles. Test runs and preparations for a false flag invasion? Well, I don't know. You know, it could be. I don't know. He says, all 450 Disclosure Project witnesses never mention aggressive encounters. Well, there have been some aggressive encounters, as we've been talking about here tonight. I do understand that the UFO Disclosure Project witnesses never mention any aggressive encounters. And that's why I said at the beginning of the show, we've never heard about this kind of stuff happening before. The UFOs just show up, they're there, and people see them. And then now it appears that there are these aggressive encounters. And my question about all of that is, why? What's up with that? It seems like that's happening more and more. And my question is, I think, an obvious question. Why? What's behind all of that? And as Simon says here in this flash message, he brings up the question, are these test runs and preparations for a false flag invasion? That theory's out there, that rumor is out there that there may be such a thing happen. So, Simon, I don't know. You bring up a good question. And I hope that when we come back with our next week of great live shows, Simon, that you will Skype again. And just remember that we open the Skype line in the second hour, all right? We open the Skype line in the second hour. And usually that's when we open the telephone lines as well. We have had, I think, one interesting week. A tech week that you got to see. You got to see and experience whenever I announce that we're upgrading something and we're having a tech week, and usually I do rebroadcast during that week. Well, this week I didn't do rebroadcast. You got to see what was going on and why we did it. And I don't know that that's all that interesting to you, but anyway, we experienced it. Next week, we have a week full of guests. Robert Felix is one of them, and you want to be sure that you tune in each and every night for each and every show, because if you miss a single second of any Kevin Smith show, you're going to miss a whole universe of information. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.